Today's reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You pray with me. Gracious God, open our hearts and minds for the message you have for us today. Through your Holy Spirit, may these be your words and not mine. We're grateful for your presence in our lives and in this place. We love you so much, and it's in the powerful name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Stories open our minds to new ideas and different perspectives, with power to spark emotions and inspire change. For centuries, stories have challenged us, and storytellers have helped us make sense of our world. Jesus told stories that literally turned ideas about life, love, and faith upside down and changed the world forever.
Good morning once again. I'm Julie Klaus. I'm the Director of Ministries here at Resurrection United Methodist Church. So we're starting a new sermon series today, and it's all about stories. We all like stories, fact, fiction, books, movies. Stories help us learn. I used to love reading stories to my kids. Eventually, they knew the story so well, they could say it back to me, verbatim, even at a really young age. We read books to our kids to not only entertain them, but to give them examples of how they should behave, how they should treat others. There are books for children that cover just about everything, books on sharing, being frightened, bullying. There's even a potty training book called Everybody Poops, and a book about the birds and the bees called It's Not the Stork. We teach our children using stories because it helps them to understand. And the same is true for us. When I was in children's ministry, we would sometimes have the kids act out a story, or we'd involve the kids in the action. We could apply those tools as adults too. Are we acting out a story in such a way that points to Christ? How are we living our lives? Are we involving people in our story, creating relationships, sharing life? Psalm 78, 1 through 5 reads, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children." God put this incredible library of books together called the Bible, filled with stories that tell us how to behave and treat others, stories that give us hope, stories that warn us how to be good parents, good spouses, good kids, and the list goes on and on. Jesus, the Word of God, taught with stories. He used something called parables. A parable, according to dictionary.com, is defined as a short allegorical story designed to illustrate or teach some truth, religious principle, or moral lesson. A statement or comment that conveys a meaning indirectly by the use of comparison, analogy, or the like. Jesus used these stories, these parables, to teach his disciples and the crowds about who God is, what God is like, and how we should act toward God and others. It was through these stories that Jesus turned lives upside down and changed the world forever. We're going to take a brief look at three of these parables today. In the first parable we read earlier, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed planted in a field. Jesus is using something familiar to explain something that is unfamiliar. In the parable, the sower of the seed, the gardener, if you will, is Jesus. The mustard seed is the gospel. It's the beginning of the church. It begins very small, but as the gospel is shared, it grows. Those who hear and understand will find refuge and rest in its branches. So the size of the seed has nothing to do with what the outcome was. Small and humble beginnings can still produce amazing results. Let's look at the next parable, the yeast and the flour. Again, Jesus is using something very familiar to explain something unfamiliar. In this parable, it's not just about the small amount of yeast being used for a large amount of flour. This parable is also pointing at a transformation. Again, the kingdom begins in a small way. But unlike the mustard seed, the yeast doesn't grow. It transforms. It changes the flour into dough. There's one more parable that I want to mention. Again, talking about the kingdom of God. It's also in the 13th chapter of Matthew, verses 45 and 46. It reads, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." What does that remind you of? I immediately thought of Jesus giving his all on the cross to purchase us, something he considers very valuable. When I was reading about this, the question came up, why a pearl? Why not a diamond or a ruby? It has to do with how the pearl is made. You're probably familiar with this process. Pearls are formed in oysters. When a piece of sand or shell or even a parasite gets into an oyster, it's an irritant. One of the articles I read likened it to having cracker crumbs in your bed. If that's ever happened to you, it's terribly irritating. The oyster, of course, having no hands, can't sweep the crumbs out. So it coats the irritant with layer upon layer of a substance called nacre, which over time results in a lustrous pearl. So a pearl then is the result of an oyster turning an irritation into something beautiful. A transformation takes place. Isn't it just like our God to use that kind of a symbol to describe us? So in all of these parables, Jesus is telling stories about the kingdom of God. Not only must it have been life-changing for his disciples and the people of that day to learn about these things in that way, but it continues to have the same effect on us today. So, are we following the example of Jesus? What stories are we telling? It's our responsibility and indeed privilege to pass on to others the hope we have in Jesus. Of course, we attend church services, we go to Bible studies, all in the name of our own growth, but we also need to respond to that which has been so freely given to us. We are the field in which the mustard seed is planted. We are called to continue passing on what we have received. Jesus told stories in a relatively small area. I was surprised. They say, for the most part, he was in an area no bigger than 10 square miles. Hastings is over 11 square miles. I think sometimes if we're not able to do that big mission trip, or if we have limited access to a relatively small group of people, we start to wonder, how much difference can I really make anyway? Jesus didn't go far. You don't have to go to Africa or India in order to make a difference. Thankfully, there are people who feel called to that kind of mission work, but for the rest of us, we need go no further than our own neighborhoods, our communities, our places of employment, the grocery store. Ministry, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, is successful when we create relationships. Jesus ministered to people through stories, something they could understand. Jesus shared his life, created relationships with 12 other people, his closest friends. He didn't approach them saying, "Hey, I'm the Christ, Son of the living God, follow me." No, he invited them into his life. It's the small things that make a difference, just like that mustard seed. Make yourself available. Be genuine and present. Say hello to that stranger. Hold the door open. Offer a smile or a kind word. It sounds so simple because it is, truly. The difficulty comes in making time for these things. This day and age, we are so busy with stuff. Fill in the blank. What is it for you? Oftentimes, we don't see what's going on in the lives of our loved ones, much less the life of a stranger. As I read in Psalm 78, storytelling should not just be something that we squeeze into our busy schedules. Sharing our testimonies, sharing life, what God has done in our lives, should be a priority. Our mission as Christians is to follow Jesus, to learn his ways, and to draw others to him by our words and our actions. You've heard this saying, it's one of my favorites, share the gospel and when necessary, use words. I love that. Just do life with folks. United Methodists, as Protestants, believe that through Christ we have been given direct access to God, just like a priest. You've heard Pastor Chris invite parents and sponsors during the baptism to take part in the baptism because we believe in the priesthood of all believers. God is equally accessible to all the faithful, and every Christian has equal potential to minister for God. Every Christian, not just pastors, not just church staff. We are all called to be seed sowers, all who profess Jesus as Lord. Just as a seed is planted to grow something, so is God's word. It is to be planted into others. Planting a seed is an act of faith. To take what we have and give it away brings glory to God. Of course, the other side of this is, are we personally growing as Christians? It can be easy to think we've got this whole thing all figured out. Are we trying to go it alone? Do we know only what we learn on our own? God commands us to stay rooted in His Word by listening to His teachings. He also tells us to share the things that we learn with others. That's a whole lot easier to do when you're in relationship with someone. Personal study time is important, and being willing to change as God's Word instructs us is essential. Joining together in worship and study allows us to grow that much faster. Our responsibility and privilege as followers of Christ is to continue to be willing to be molded and shaped by God's Word and to bring the message of Jesus to our family and our community. Sowing the seeds of faith to God's glory is a great reminder for all of us the responsibility we have as Christ followers. I pray our actions reflect our beliefs. As the saying goes, people don't really care what you know until they know you care. It's all about relationships. Our actions need to show love, mercy, and kindness. There really is a God who created the universe and created us in His image. God chose to walk among us through His Son, Jesus the Christ, and through His death on the cross, we have the opportunity to respond in faith to be with Him for eternity. As followers of Christ, we all are the light of the world. We all found faith because it was shared with us by somebody else. Each day, we encounter people that we can influence toward a relationship with God. Thankfully, we don't just rely on pastors and church staff to influence our families and communities. We can each take up the call to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you a video in just a moment. I think it does a good job of showing how Jesus turned things upside down, which changed everything.
I will always believe this. I have no hope. That it is foolish to think that heaven exists, that God gives me eternal salvation, that there is something greater than this life. I am convinced there is no way God has prepared a home for me where the pain of life doesn't exist. I won't be denied the reality where knowledge and experience reign. I refuse to follow blindly. There are assumptions that God loves me, that God is concerned with my life. God will comfort me with His presence. Make no mistake, I depend solely on things of the earth for pleasure and fulfillment. I will forever feel empty if my existence is founded on things I cannot see. I am proud to proclaim there is nothing that will sway me that Jesus walked out of the tomb. I will never reject. Jesus rose from the dead is a lie. It is impossible to think God worked all things together for good by conquering death 2,000 years ago. I have discovered answers to every doubt. I don't need God, because I know I will always believe this. But Jesus turned everything upside down. I will always believe this, because I know God. I don't need answers to every doubt. I have discovered by conquering death 2,000 years ago, God worked all things together for good. To think it is impossible is a lie. Jesus rose from the dead. I will never reject that Jesus walked out of the tomb. There is nothing that will sway me. I am proud to proclaim my existence is founded on things I cannot see. I will forever feel empty if for pleasure and fulfillment I depend solely on things of the earth. Make no mistake, God will comfort me with His presence. God is concerned with my life. God loves me. There are assumptions that I refuse to follow blindly, where knowledge and experience reign. I won't be denied the reality where the pain of life doesn't exist and God has prepared a home for me. There is no way. I am convinced that there is something greater than this life, that God gives me eternal salvation, that heaven exists, that it is foolish to think I have no hope. I will always believe this.
May God bless our efforts to know Him better and to bring the hope we have to our families and communities. Amen.